For this afternoon, let's turn to the Old Testament and read from Ezekiel chapter number 18. Ezekiel 18. That's on page 916 in the Pew Bible. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye, that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also is the soul of the son, is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, he that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and hath defiled his neighbor's wife, and hath oppressed the poor and needy, and hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to idols, and hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet ye say, Why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass he that hath trespassed, and in his sins that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O Israel, is not my way equal, and are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from the from his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal, and are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. May God bless the reading of truly, if we were able to follow along on this somewhat lengthy chapter, we were able to see that we have a personal accountability before the Lord, that which we will be judged by is but by our own actions and not a previous generation or a subsequent generation or any other relationship that we might have in this life, but that we have a personal accountability before the Lord. In verse number 4, we read, "Behold, all souls are mine, saith the Lord God. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." A father has his own responsibilities and a personal accountability before the Lord. And the son separately has his own personal accountability before the Lord. In verse number 20, we read again, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Depending on how one would live their lives, either by the righteousness of God or by their own wickedness, they will be judged accordingly. And so, a message this afternoon would be similar to that of Wednesday night and this morning, of that there is a judgment, and those that would yield themselves to the Lord shall be rewarded for that giving of their will to the Lord, and those that would be disobedient shall be punished and with damnation. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. So this, what Jesus said here, matches what we read here in Ezekiel 18, that when Jesus Christ comes, he will reward every man according to his works, every man of his own works. So when we stand before the Lord and that day of judgment is here, it'll be between ourselves and the Lord. Our parents or our spouse or our siblings or any other people will not be there. It will be between us and the Lord on that day of reckoning. And so the Lord is saying to the people of Israel, you will no longer be able to use this proverbs that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. That proverb will not be able to be used anymore. All souls are the Lord's. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son. And so he brings forth a situation where a man does good. He does all these good things. He doesn't commit idolatry. He doesn't commit adultery. He helps those who are in need. And then he has a son, and his son does the opposite. His son commits idolatry, commits adultery, doesn't help those who are in need, oppresses them. And then that man has a son, and that son then sees the sins of his fathers, and he considers, and he says, I won't go that route. I will do that which is good. And he does that which is good. He does not commit idolatry. He does not commit adultery. He does not, and he does help those who are in need. And the Lord here is saying, in each of these instances, those that have done good will be rewarded for that which they have done, the good. And then though he that had done evil, though he was sandwiched between those who had done good, in his evil that he had done, he will receive that judgment from the Lord based on that which he had done. And so that's what this chapter here is speaking of, as well as those who do wicked in their lives, and then they recognize that this isn't what the path I really want to go, and they repent and they turn their lives and they turn to the Lord, and as they return from their ways, they will live. As he speaks here in this chapter. And then likewise, if there was one who was righteous and turns from his righteousness, that righteousness that he had committed will no longer be remembered, but he will be judged for that which he had done. So the New Testament also speaks to this of having a personal accountability before the Lord. It just as it speaks here in Ezekiel 18, it also speaks in the New Testament likewise. And in addition to what we read here, what Jesus said, that he will reward every man according to his works, there are other verses that I'd like to just simply quickly go over to confirm that we do have a personal accountability before the Lord. In Romans 2:6, it says that God will render to every man according to his deeds. Each and every man will be rewarded to their own deeds. And then in Romans 14:12, it says that, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We will give an account of ourselves to God. Not based on others, not based upon circumstances or environments, but based upon ourselves, we will give an account unto God for that which how we had lived. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, every man shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. We will all give an account of our lives on that great and notable day for that which we have committed or done with in our lives. So as we heard this morning, that we can desire to do God's will, but the Lord has given us a will too. The Lord has given unto us the ability to have self-will and to determine in our lives, to make those choices, whether we will serve the Lord or whether we will not. That choice is given unto us. But ours should be certainly that the Lord's will be done, and that we would be a blessing unto others, that we would recognize what the Lord has done for us and who the Lord is and how he has this strong desire that he does not want to see a soul die. He does not want that to happen, but that we would live. And so he says here in these last verses, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. And then he says, repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. This is the Lord's pleading. Don't let iniquity be your ruin. Repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. This is God's desire, God does not have pleasure in the death of a sinner. There's no pleasure for God to say, I condemn you to hell because you didn't turn from your ways. God has no pleasure in that. God desires that we would come and that we would live. And so then, because we know that we have a personal accountability before the Lord, because we know that the Scriptures confirm that, let's be wise. Let's be wise. And with intentionality, desire to serve the Lord in uprightness and do that which is good, to be well pleasing unto Him. He is giving us this free will. And so may it be that we would be as the first man that was spoken of and as the last man that was spoken of. That we wouldn't oppress any. That we would not withhold a pledge when we've pledged something. That we would make good on our pledge. That we would not spoil any by violence. But help us to give bread to the hungry. And to cover the naked with a garment, to be a blessing unto others, to do what God would have us to do, to please Him well in all things. In the Sermon on the Mount, we are given instruction by the Lord saying that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We can be a blessing unto others in their lives by showing mercy, by showing mercy. You know, the Bible calls us to love our neighbor as ourself. We don't love them because they've done good to us or we can get a favor from them. All men have failings, and we've been failed multiple times in our lives by others. And certainly we've failed others as well of ourselves. But the Bible calls us to love them anyway. To love them anyway. That we should be a pure in heart, Jesus says. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is a personal accountability that we have, that we keep our hearts, that it would be pure before the Lord. That we would not allow evil thoughts to dwell in our minds. Or that we would not have a heart that would desire something that would be displeasing to the Lord. But that we would have a pure heart. And when we have a pure heart before the Lord, we will see God. For the Word of God says so. And then, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We have a personal accountability. And Jesus is saying that we are blessed when we are peacemakers. Not when we continue in strife, but that we be peacemakers. And when we become peacemakers, we will be called the children of God. referring again back to Wednesday's sermon, one of the verses reads, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." He who will be our judge, because we have personal accountability before the Lord, he is standing at the door. And so we are not to grudge one against another, brethren, lest we be condemned. We will be condemned if we grudge one against another. The Lord has been gracious to us. He's been merciful to us. He's been forgiving to us. He's provided grace. And then for God to see one to hold a grudge against another, that will bring us to judgment. Peter, in his epistle, writes, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous." This is. We have personal accountability to this. How will we live out our lives? How will we interact with brethren? How will we interact with the people of the world? At the end of our lives, we will be judged by that. And Peter here is saying, have compassion one of another. Be compassionate. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be pitiful. full of pity or compassion towards those who are hurting. And be courteous. Be gracious. God has been gracious with us. Let's be gracious with others. This is what we are being called to. And we have a personal accountability as to whether or not we live these things. If our dad was not pitiful or courteous, we can see from that example, as we read here in Ezekiel 18, that we are not to go that route. We can consider and say, no, I don't want to go that route. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. That at the end of our days, when we stand before the judgment throne, that it will be known of us that we didn't render evil for evil. There's plenty of evil in this world. Or railing for railing. There's plenty of evil words to go around. Should it be perpetuated with us? Should railings be perpetuated with us? Or should it stop with us? And should we return a blessing? As Peter here is saying in his epistle. But contrarywise, a blessing. But perhaps that takes intentionality. Perhaps that's to be remembering that we have a personal accountability before the Lord. It's between me and God. I will one day stand before him. And he will say, well, you condemned others. You cursed them. Jesus says, by thy words thou will be justified, and by thy words thou will be condemned. There is a judgment that is happening, that will happen, and it's specific to ourselves as to how we have lived our lives. And so we are to have temperance in our lives, and we are to guard our tongues. The psalmist said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. What comes out of our mouth, what comes off of our lips, belongs to us. That doesn't belong to somebody else. That belongs to us. And so I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Keep our tongues. Keep our mouths with a bridle. Control it. This is temperance. This is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in us, and that fruit of temperance is coming out. That we would guard our tongues. For every one of us, because we live in the flesh, we often think that, oh, he just said that? Oh, I can retort with something really that would really put him in his place. That's the carnal mind thinking. That's not indicative of the Holy Spirit working in us. And so when that moment comes, we ought to take heed to our ways, that we would sin not with our tongue, and that we would keep our mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before us. And so we should begin with the end in mind, thinking that as we live out our days, as what we say, what we do, there's going to be a judgment for all these things one day. And so because we have personal accountability, our mind should always be that I want to be a blessing unto others. I want to be a blessing unto others. There are people that are going through difficult times. I can be a blessing to them. There are people that are rejoicing. I can be a blessing and rejoice with them. I can be a blessing to other people in their lives. Speak a kind word. Share a caring thought. Be pitiful. Being courteous. Being a blessing unto others. This is what the Lord wants of us. This is what he's desiring of us. And when the Son of Man comes in the glory of his Father with his angels, he shall then reward everyone according to his works. There's no more time then to go and make right because we've said some things that were derogatory, that were mean. There's no time to make right on those things. But we have the opportunity now to live for the Lord and to be a blessing unto others and to glorify him. As we read this morning, when I think of the Thessalonians and all that they had endured, the persecution that came upon them was heavy. It was heavy. And yet they grew in their faith exceedingly, and their charity one for another abounded. That's a beautiful testimony to them. And they will be rewarded for that, because they were a blessing unto others. They didn't come back to their perpetrators, to those who were persecuting them, and say, "We'll get even with you." No, they committed their faith into the Lord, and they committed their love one to another. And by doing that, by living in such a way, they glorified God in heaven. They glorified him. And that's our desire, is that we want to glorify God because of all the gifts that he has done for us, and then to know that eternity hangs in the balances. The Lord knew that, here in Ezekiel 18, the Lord knew that the people of Israel were murmuring and saying, "God's ways are not equal." But he was correcting them and saying, "You're saying my ways are not equal, but your ways are not equal. And he goes, "And my ways are equal." And truly, when we consider the Lord, knowing that his ways are far above our ways, as the earth is, as the heaven is above the earth, that truly his ways are great and wonderful ways. And when we yield ourselves to the Lord, he will bless us. He will bless us. And when we are blessed of the Lord because we walk in obedience, because we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, as those that were persecuting the Thessalonians did not do, they disobeyed the gospel of Christ. But as we obey the gospel of Christ, the blessings in our lives will flow, and we can take those blessings that have been given unto us and share them with brethren, share them with the world, that the memory of the just would be blessed, that our memory of that which we had done in this life would be one of a blessing. And so again, beginning with the end in mind, let's have intentionality in our hearts, that we know we will give a personal accountability before the Lord as to what we have done with the free will that he has given unto us. Have we been a blessing to others? Or were we a cursing unto others? The Lord Jesus gave the parable of a last judgment and spoke of sheep and goats being separated. And he says, "And then shall the king say, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" This is ultimately what we want to hear. There is no sweeter words for us to hear at the end of our lives than to hear the king say to us, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." Ye are blessed because you were a blessing unto others. You're blessed because you were a blessing unto others. You helped the needy. You shared a kind word. You were pitiful, full of pity towards others. You were courteous, not snotty, courteous. You were compassionate. You shared words of comfort. And so because you were a blessing unto others, the king shall say unto us when he comes in the glory of the Father with all the holy angels, he will say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then shall he say unto those on his left, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." He's saying, depart from me into that everlasting punishment that was spoken of this morning. That everlasting punishment. Depart from me, ye cursed. There are the blessed, and then there are the cursed. Blessed because they were a blessing unto others. And then there are the cursed because they were a cursing unto others. They didn't care about others. They didn't show pity. They didn't care. Who cares about others? I just care about myself. And there was a cursing. There is a curse to them. Jesus says, depart from me, ye cursed, because you were a curse unto others. Into everlasting fire. Not a fire that would bring you to death, as we heard this morning. A fire that would annihilate you. No, it's an eternal death. There is an everlasting fire, Jesus says. It's an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's who it's prepared for, but God doesn't want us to die. He says, turn ye and live. Cast away from you your transgressions. Cast away evil thoughts of others from you. And make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why will you die, O son of man? God doesn't want us to die. He has no pleasure in that. Let's live our lives because there is personal accountability that we have before the Lord. And we will give an account, each one of us. Let's live our lives to be a blessing unto others. Let's lift up the Lord. Let's praise his name. May we live in faith. May that faith of ours that we have in him continue to grow. May we love the brethren that we can glorify his name. Amen.
The children of Israel were known for the word that the Lord had given to them and the heritage that they had inherited. And at times they were very proud of that. And the Lord had to speak to them to stop them in their tracks and wake them up. They had assumed that things would continue on as they had from the fathers. The fathers had eaten the sour grapes, and now the children's teeth are set on edge. It's just all the same. And that's a danger for us too. Unless we stop and ask ourselves, have I made the faith my own? Have I embraced what the Word has spoken? We could fall into the trap of going through the motions and thinking that everything is going to be just fine and everything is going to stay the same way as it always has without taking the Word to heart. Well, that's a dangerous place to be. The word says in 2 Peter that in the last days scoffers shall come walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And it is coming. We're called to be ready. And we're called to humble ourselves before the Lord. Because only he can create a new heart within us. Only he can grant us his Holy Spirit from above, which is needed. The statement we sang in this song 180 is going to ring within my heart. Wilt thou now loose the bondage of all evil? This is our prayer to our Redeemer. Will you set me free? Will you heal me? Will you provide that new heart and new creation? Our hope is in our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, that he will do these things, that the things, the habits that you have learned from those who are poor examples to you in the world, that you would not continue in them. That things don't have to be the same, that you fall into the patterns of habitual sin. But the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, will loosen the bondage of all evil and day by day more fully make me free. That is how it happens. One day at a time, giving to the Lord, yielding it to him in faith, asking him, as we've heard this afternoon, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do with this? I commit it to you. And day by day, more fully, even as we heard this morning, that we are to grow and to abound in faith and love, more fully day by day, in the Lord's presence, that is where he wants us. May God bless his word to that end and give us a willing heart to hear him. Amen.